Blog Talk Radio.
Way down before.
All right, welcome to Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. My name is Quinn Hardy, and my co-host tonight is Matt Singleton, Pastor Matt Singleton.
It's great to be back. Awesome. KGR.
Today on Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio, KGR, we talk about the legacy of Norm Davis, and the founder of Take Back Kentucky, and KRBA, the Kentuckians for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. This is a radio show to honor the legacy of Norm Davis, was the founder of Kentuckians for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms in 1993 and Take Back Kentucky in 1997. This is a tribute to his memory 5 years later after his passing. Many individuals across Grayson County, Kentucky, Kentucky itself, the United States of America, were touched by his activism for rights. We shall always remember him for his toughness, grit, and outreach on how to be a citizen lobbyist. His expertise will last long past his life, which was cut short at the young age of 65. If you want to learn more about his legacy, please visit Take Back Kentucky, the website at www.takebackkentucky.com. We're going to do anything a little bit different than we did 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we talked about his memory. We talked about the past. Now we're going to talk about the present and the future and what other people are doing, not just Norm themselves. I have here in front of me something that Norm used to do, which he called a grassroots legislative training session. And this one he actually held out in Paducah, Kentucky. Let me just list kind of some of the stuff Norm would put in something like that. Sign-ups will be between 9 and 9:45. This session will start promptly at 10 a.m. He is always about being on time. Learn where the state and federal government webpages are. Learn how to use search engines. This session will last all day, so bring your laptop. Learn where the bills are and how to interpret them. Very important. Learn how to email and call your elected officials. Learn how to fight City Hall. Instead of that old saying, City Hall, you can't fight City Hall. Learn how to fight bad judges. For more information, contact Norm at Take Back Kentucky. There's some other stuff I'll be sharing a little bit later. Matt, first I want to bring you in. Talk a little bit about Norm and what have you been doing in the last 5 years related to activism?
Well, I tell you what, basically, the thing that was amazing about Norm is the fact that he was really, he's not looking to become a powerhouse and a politician, but he had a dream of fulfilling all that we are supposed to be, being all that we can be as citizens. And that is one of the most powerful things that Take Back Kentucky stands for under his vision, was to empower regular citizens to be what they're supposed to be as the Constitution intended.
All right. Sounds really good. Thank you, Pastor Matt Singleton. Frank Harris of Fayette County in Lexington, I want to bring you in. I want you to talk about what you've been doing over the last 5 years. You're welcome to talk about Norm, Take Back Kentucky, KRBA, or what you all do in Fayette County, the 6th District. The floor is yours, my friend.
Hello, Clinton. Thank you very much for having me on your show today. I think I probably came in contact with Take Back Kentucky roughly in 2007 or 2008. I didn't really know a whole lot about formal politics and how politics worked in the state or at the federal level or even at the local level. And when Ron Paul came onto the scene, I didn't know who Ron Paul was. Ron Paul, I guess, had been on the scene for 30 years, but through the internet, he sort of exploded in 2007, 2008. And so people like me found out about Ron Paul. And then we started finding out about the groups around the state, like Take Back Kentucky. that had been involved for years. A lot of people in Take Back Kentucky probably knew Ron Paul from the 1980s. You guys were way ahead of the curve on things that I, you know, didn't have any formal knowledge of. So I got involved with the Ron Paul campaign, and of course in 2008 he lost. But it was a real eye-opener as far as how the election process worked and how controlled the election process is. People like you that have been around for a while in the political scene, it's probably old news, but the election process is corrupt. It is thoroughly corrupt and very controlled by the two parties. And the 2008 election was what really opened my eyes. So I discovered Take Back Kentucky. Back then I was probably going to four or five meetings a year. Of course met Norm, and, Norm was impossible not to like. Norm was just a fiery individual and so determined and so smart and, you know, just a down-to-earth kind of guy. He would go and embarrass politicians that tried to weasel out of what they said they were going to do. He would show up at town hall meetings and things like that. And he inspired people like me to get involved. So I started going to city council meetings. I started to campaign for other people. I would have to guess I've campaigned for at least probably 12 or 15 people in the last 10 years of all, you know, all parties, all affiliations. I don't vote party. I vote for the person or for the issues. People like Gatewood, people like Rand Paul, people like Thomas Massey, Phil Moffitt. And so all that came about because of getting involved in 2007 with the Ron Paul campaign. And then, of course, I met you through Take Back Kentucky.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was kind of an amazing period. I remember I was kind of just really getting into that activism and going through the Republican and, local and regional state conventions and stuff at that very time. It's really about the same time that I met Clint. So, you know, really there was a whole lot going on. And, of course, you know, there was a desperate call for that because of a certain president, not to mention just, you know, seeing the way the entire country was shifting and, you know, the whole cultural thing where a lot of this stuff was just, you know, caving in as far as, like, what America used to be. But, not to say that, you know, we were living in, you know, the Garden of Eden and then all of a sudden, you know, something evil happened. You know, we've always had to deal with that, and it's a societal issue, but the government is so easy to take advantage of. We talk about gun control, but the ultimate gun is, you know, the abuse of the government.
Right, and you see when you start to go to some of the meetings and some of the committee meetings and things like that, and you find out real quickly that things are not run in a sort of pure idealistic way. It's very much about self-interest and protecting special interests. There's not, a lot of the things that would be done at the local level or, in a business just don't happen in government. There's no concern about efficiencies. There's no real oversight. The committees that are supposed to be overseeing agencies have a very hands-off attitude. They're not really involved in the day-to-day operations of some of these agencies, like Child Protective Services and, say, Meals on Wheels and things like that. They really don't know how the day-to-day operations work.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's kind of funny. I went to a leadership seminar conducted with Louisville Tea Party. And they had a speaker who, I believe he was a mayor in a town in Maryland. And basically, he said something kind of interesting. He was, most of his time was not as mayor, but as an activist. But basically, he said, if you don't have anything bad to say about a politician, don't say anything at all. And what that meant was that basically you can only influence so much with positive statements, but, you know, you have to hold these people's feet to the fire when it comes to the negative aspects of things. And it is so easy to get complacent or to become, you know, corrupted by fame and power in some sort. And, you know, doing the right thing is always costly for a politician. So it's easy to, you know, find people who accommodate to the system after a few years, even if they, you know, have the same, you know, big party name and they say, I'm a Republican, doesn't mean that they'll necessarily act like what you think a Republican acts like. That might be good or bad, but, you know, we would kind of see the good ideals in that. But that doesn't guarantee anything. Tell us a little bit about, now you have you filled out as a Libertarian Party candidate, or are you considering that? Where are you at in the process of your election?
Okay, so I didn't say anything yet, but I was leading up to that. I joined the Libertarian Party in 2012. I had been active in the Republican Party since about 2007. I had become a state delegate, and I saw how the Republican establishment in here in Fayette County, which is Lexington, how they tried to exclude really people that were forward-thinking people like Rand Paul. They tried to shut Rand Paul out. They tried to shut the Ron Paul folks out. They even tried to shut the Tea Party people out. So, it was all about cronyism. It was all about keeping those in power in power. And so I finally had enough, and I finally left the Republican Party in 2012. So I've been active in the Libertarian Party. I served as a secretary for a couple of years. And I've been thinking about running for some office for the last, probably 6 or 8 years, but I really just didn't have the courage to do it. And so when Gary Johnson ran for president in 2016, he got enough votes to give Kentucky, or the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, ballot access, which we hadn't had before the 2016 election. We always had to go out and collect a lot of signatures. For a congressional race, that meant collecting 400 signatures, but, you know, to be safe, you had to make sure you had 400 good signatures. That meant you really had to get about 600 signatures. So, it's kind of daunting, and I was afraid of the political process a little bit. I was afraid that I wouldn't be good enough to run. But it's always been in my mind to run. So I started going out this year to listen to the Democratic candidate. I've got a friend, Jeff Young, who's running for the seat on the Democratic side. I'm sorry?
Okay. Let's go ahead and have the stopping point there, and we'll come back to you. We're going to put you on hold. Let's go to 270-849 number. Welcome to KGR and the Norm Davis Legacy.
Cliff, thank you. This is Rick Kreitz, moderator of Take Mount Kentucky.
All right, welcome.
Hey.
We're talking about his legacy today. 5 years ago, as we talked about at the top of the show, we talked about Norm Davis and his past. And, you know, we meant to all of us. This show is kind of like what his legacy has been. What are the people doing now? What are they doing in the present and the future going forward? So, Rick, the floor is yours. That's kind of the theme of the show. So the floor is yours to talk.
Sure. Thanks, Cliff. I've been involved with Take Back Kentucky for many, many years, but I was not there in the very beginning. Norm Davis and a few of his friends had the idea to try to, I don't know if you've mentioned this or not, but try to pass a concealed carry permit for handguns. And Norm went up to Frankfort, talked to a state legislator, and the guy basically laughed him out of his office, said, "You're never going to get that in Kentucky." And, well, that made Norm mad and made the wrong guy mad. Norm was very persistent, kept at it for a couple of years. And ultimately, we got all the gun people excited around the state and got our concealed carry passed. And that particular legislator, whoever that was at that time, he's gone today. So Norm and his friends were encouraged by what they had accomplished and decided to continue on. I said, well, what else can we do to affect the legislature? And that was the genesis of Take Back Kentucky. So over the last 20 years or so, we've done a lot of work in Frankfort with the legislators. Occasionally there might be a good one that we can work with, but a lot of times there are some of them that are not so good and we have to oppose them. There's occasionally some good bills. We have a list on our website of the good bills that we like this year, but more often than not, we're fighting bad legislation because these guys come up with all kinds of cockamamie ideas. And so we want to oppose the bad legislation as well as supporting the good legislation. But Norm was very persistent. He was a good fellow, a likable fellow. I'd been over there to his property. If you want me to, Clint, I can tell a little story about some opposition that Norm had over there where he lived. Norm lived out in the country, and he did. A lot of people around the country have taken note of Take Back Kentucky and Norm Davis, and Norm traveled around the country, and a lot of folks, for example, Larry Kraft from Gun Owners of America and many others that liked Norm and liked what he was doing. And you would think that this organization had some big lobby group on K Street up in Washington, D.C., you know, with millions of dollars. Well, that's not the way it was at all. Norm basically just worked out of his home. He had a little small office, a little small building there on his property where he kept his records and his computer. And there was a period of time, I guess this is close to 10 years ago, people were taking note of what Norm was doing and they didn't like him. So they started breaking in. They were sabotaging his computer and various things. So there was a number of us that went to his home and kind of just kept a watch out for a while. And this is kind of funny. There were some campers that came up there, some gun folks, and they called it Norm Creek. And it was just kind of a rally, so to speak. But some people thought they had seen, in the middle of the night, seen something or people snooping around through the woods. Norm has some night vision, and we went out there, and Norm was using his night vision, and he figured out. Because whoever this person was said there's a whole bunch of people kind of marching in file going through the woods. Well, as it turns out, it was a flock of turkeys. There's a bunch of turkeys walking through the woods in the middle of the night. And everybody got all jazzed about funny. That was kind of funny. But anyway, we finally put the kibosh on what was going on with these opposition, these break-ins. And at one point, I don't know if you've mentioned Sharon Kuiper worked with Norm for many, many years. And she was there the day this happened. Norm and Sharon were in the office. And now Norm had always had a good relationship with the local law enforcement, with the sheriff and so forth. But the FBI showed up over there one day. There were two FBI agents that came in. And they were giving him a hard time and trying to, you know, make some allegations about firearms and stuff like that. And anyway, Norm was not one to get his feathers ruffled up. He just stood up in their faces, and I don't guess I can repeat exactly what he said, but anyway, he told them to get lost, and they did. They left, and he never heard from them again. So Norm had a backbone. He was interested. He stood up. He got involved, which is what all of us need to do. Norm was a great example for all of us. We strive to continue on with his legacy, to continue on with our organization, Take Back Kentucky, to influence the state legislature, basically just for liberty. Whatever is good for liberty, we support it, and it's bad for liberty, we oppose it. Whether it's in the federal constitution or the state constitution, Norm was a big advocate, as we are still today, of the Kentucky Constitution, which our Bill of Rights in Kentucky is sections 1 through 26, and they're even more, our Bill of Rights in Kentucky are even more extensive than what is secured by our federal constitution.
Hey, Rick, so, I appreciate it. Let me stop you there. If you'll hold on, I want to bring Katie in and be able to discuss. So hold on with us. I believe this is Katie Moyer, 270-305.
Yep, that's me.
I don't know if you've had a chance to hear. I know you've been on for a while listening, and I wanted to get to you, but you know, I had Rick and Frank and Matt on too. This is talking about the legacy, kind of what the present and the future, what others are doing because of what Norm did. So the floor is yours.
Well, I have to say that Norm definitely had a huge impact on my life, and I don't even know if huge is a word that really does enough justice to how big of an impact it was on my life. I recall, I kind of started paying attention and getting interested in politics during the 2008 election. I was in 2007, beginning of the race, and was just kind of looking for a candidate. I didn't really know anything about politics, never really had any interest or education or anything about it. But I was old enough to vote, and I was, intended to do it. And I started looking into them, and through some friends, I discovered Ron Paul, and started a meetup group in Hopkinsville for other people who liked Ron Paul. And I didn't start the group. There was a handful of people that were already meeting, and we ended up meeting at my mom's office where we worked, and then I just kind of, started doing some organizing, planning events and meet and greets and campaign stops and whatever in support of Ron Paul, and then eventually other candidates that we supported as well. But a couple of the early members of Take Back Kentucky, Gary Thornell and Paula Willett, came to one of our meetup groups or our meetup meetings, and invited us all to come to Take Back Kentucky anytime we wanted. They told us about it and invited us. And so I started going to Take Back Kentucky, where I met Norm. And, like everybody else that, was good intentioned, I fell in love with Norm. Typically the ones that are ill-intentioned don't fall in love with Norm. They really don't like him, but that's because their intentions aren't in the right place. Just his leadership, his personality, for all his orneriness, he's also very charming and likable because, he's just a regular guy. So, I actually one day, almost like feel like I kind of started discovering myself and who I was around that time frame, around that age. I was in my early 20s. I was probably around 22 or 23 at this time. And I actually asked Norm if he cared if I, you know, came out to his office there and kind of tagged along with him for what he was doing. And he and his wife, Lydia, invited me to come and actually live in the office. They had a bunk bed in there and a bathroom and things like that, and a little kitchen. So I ended up staying out there for a couple of months and just traveled with him. I went to Frankfurt with him and then just, you know, was there and got to see what he did on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when Norm said, you know, he was going to work, he was working all day long. Like, that phone started ringing first thing in the morning. And a lot of times it didn't stop ringing until 10 or 11 o'clock at night because people were calling him from all over the place, all over the state, asking for help. People from other states calling, asking for help. And, I mean, you know, that little period of time, that 2 or 3 months that I stayed there and lived with them was just a huge learning experience that I don't think that there's any college, any leadership training, any kind of course or school or anything in the world that would give me or anybody else that kind of education, because it was like trial by fire, on the job training. You know, here's how you're effective and go out and get things done and campaign and lobby and just be a good person and help people. I mean, helping people was one of the biggest things that Norm did, and he did it. He did it for no other reason than it was the right thing to do. He didn't do it to get in the newspaper or get on TV or win an election or get money or anything like that. He did it because they came to him and they needed help. And that was one of the things that, to me, I think struck me the most. And I've, you know, just helping people has always been something that was just part of my personality. So I think that was something that, you know, I always felt like, well, you know, if somebody calls me and they need help, I'm going to do that because it's what Norm would do. And that's what Gatewood would do. You know, Gatewood was a good friend of Norm's and he was the same way. But, you know, that kind of education that, you know, we're talking about Norm's legacy and what people are doing now. But it was that education and that sort of trial by fire that, led me, you know, while I was actually out there at Norm's, he and Gary Thornell and some of the others in Take Back Kentucky had started talking about drafting a bill for industrial hemp, and that sort of became my first homework assignment was, you know, he literally just told me, you know, okay, I want you to work on this bill. You know, you've learned now how to write a bill and how to draft legislation, how to change it, and this, that, and the other. And I ended up pulling everything I could find about, you know, anything that had to do with agriculture. Like, I ended up with this bill that was like 12 or 15 pages. I don't know. It was like ridiculously long. And every little list in agriculture, you know, where it would list crops, I'd insert the word hemp in there, and I'd add hemp in here, and I'd tweak that to make it include hemp. And when I was done and I brought it to him, he starts flipping through the pages and he's looking, and he was almost like a elementary school teacher with a red pen, because he was like, well, we don't need this and we don't need that and we don't need this. And he just whittled that thing down to like 3 pages of the most important parts. And then that's what we eventually took to Senator Joey Pendleton, my state senator at the time, and ask him to sponsor it. So, you know, to make a long story short, the next several years were spent lobbying for passage of that bill and sort of utilizing all of the things that I'd learned from Norm and all the other folks at Take Back Kentucky to try to pass the bill. And we passed a bill, and then I got, you know, to work on the regulations. So we got some regulations drafted, and then Congress passed a farm bill and allowing state departments of agriculture and universities to grow hemp.
Katie, let me stop you here for a second.
Yeah.
We're about ready to go to a different show because of workout. So if everybody on here gets cut off, please just call back in 2 seconds.
Okay.